It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Kutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Dome.
He keeps going. He's down on a knee. He's got it. Bat is flipped sky high. And Juan Soto is your 2022 Home Run Derby champion.
You know, it feels a little uncomfortable at the beginning, but I would be fine.
Glenn, you talked recently about wanting to be here, not necessarily wanting to be traded. Have those feelings changed at all, or would you like to be in Washington if things worked out?
I mean, for me, this is the team I've been since, 2015. I've been with this team, and I feel good with it. And when I get to know the city more, it feels great. Why should I need to change?
Juan Soto, who won the unfairly took the shine away from Albert Pujols yesterday, but he is upset that he was offered $500 million to stay with the Nationals, but the average annual value was under $30 million, so he turned it down.
Mm-hmm.
Probably smart.
Did you see the jockeying yesterday between some of the All-Stars on trying to steal Juan Soto away from the Nationals? They know he's upset. They've obviously been hanging out with him the last day or so. But you had Aaron Judge, Garrett Cole, both of them come out and say, we would love to see him as a Yankee. As a matter of fact, Garrett Cole went as far as to say, just please not the Red Sox. We don't want him there. but I mean, it is out there. It is well known. That guy doesn't want to be there. And now that quote, as you just said, not liking it that the Nationals leaked that out, many people are saying that that was the last straw, that they maybe possibly could have worked something out. But the fact that the details got out there trying to make him look like the bad guy, he said that this is it seems like he's going to be gone when it's time.
Yeah. And again, if I owned a team in a major market, I would try to get him. And if the worst case scenario is you have him for 2.5 years and you get to watch him play for 2.5 years. Because if I owned the team, I'd watch the team. And if I had to watch the team 162 days a year, I'd want to see Juan Soto playing the majority of those games. And that's why when when people like dismiss it, like should the Red Sox get him? Like, oh, no, you can't do that. Why? Why? If you're just giving up prospects for him, there's no guarantee. There's even no guarantee that Mayer is going to be a star. I mean, there's no guarantee with any of these kids. You have a guaranteed generational player. You have a guy whose numbers are projecting out to be Ted Williams-esque. I mean, he's here. He's in the major leagues. He's existed. He exists. He's done it. I would give up a bunch of kids who haven't done it for a guy I know who can do it. And then in 2.5 years, if he asks for $70 million a year or something and the crazy-ass guy from the Mets gives it to him, then, I've had him for 2.5 years. It was fun. Yep. Or I trade him before the last season. At least I get a year and a half out of him.
And the price tag, too, Fred, as far as that's concerned, think about some of the players that are going to be coming off the books. Now, let's say you are going to let Xander Bogaerts walk. Having Juan Soto definitely makes, it doesn't make it hurt as much, but you'll have his money available. Nate Eovaldi, I think that his contract is coming to an end soon. JD Martinez is is going to be gone. So there's going to be some room that, you know, would make it justifiable for these guys to be able to spend that kind of cash. He would be your cornerstone for a decade if you had him on your team.
If you could re-sign him, but that's why, if not the Red Sox, then who? Like, if someone's going to make a deal for him, why not the Red Sox?
Yeah, Yankees are going to make a big push for him.
Yeah, there's only so many teams that can do it.
Who did I see out there? The Rangers, I think. There's some reason why the Rangers would be a good team for it.
Well, the Rangers are spending silly money. They spend all that money in the offseason, and, yeah, they'd probably do it. You have the Rangers, the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers could do it. And I know the Dodgers, it would be a lot of money. But, I mean, the Dodgers are the type of franchise that could do it. I'm not saying they would with Mookie Betts. I mean, boy, can you imagine an outfield with Mookie Betts and Juan Soto? That would be a little unfair. So yeah. Chances of them doing it are probably pretty slim. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the Red Sox are one of the handful of teams. And Dan said it in my ear, but it's true. I mean, I guess the Cardinals could do it. I don't know. They could keep him for 2.5 years. There's no way they could pay him.
Maybe like the Dodgers are always in the conversation.
Yeah, we just talked
Mets,
about that.
I'm trying to think outside of the Dodgers, the Mets. You know, that's another one that whose name is being thrown around a decent amount. Either way, it would be. It's you're right. This is a major market team. This team, you know, they haven't been acting as much like a major market team as of late. And if they're going to let Xander Bogaerts go. Then it wouldn't suck.
You're right. Bogaerts, Martinez, and Eovaldi all come off the books after this year. And so that's a significant amount of money.
That's a lot of money.
39 and 17.
And if you trade for Juan Soto, if you trade for Juan Soto, you're the story. And that would be fun if you're the ownership, too.
Oh, Tom Warner would be very excited. Harpo would be jumping up and down with glee about how all of this makes his team sexy again.
Yeah. Juan Soto makes things, makes you the story again. You trade for Juan Soto, you've got a good 4 months of being the story. You supersede Patriots training camp. You supersede anything the Celtics or the Bruins do early in the season. You get Juan Soto, you are the story. And by the way, your lineup is just otherworldly for the rest of this season.
I mean, you take a look at his numbers the last 3 years, in 2020, even in a shortened season, and that's with little or no protection in that lineup. And then you look at what you would drop him into if he started hitting for the Red Sox. I mean, you have three All-Stars hitting 2-3-4 in your order as it is now, and you put Soto in the middle of that?
You'd probably have Soto lead off.
You could do that, too.
I mean, I'd have Soto lead off, then I'd have Devers. Yeah. I'd have Devers, Bogaerts, Martinez.
Well, whatever the case may be, but you'll have an actual All-Star caliber dynamite hitter. He'll see more fastballs. I mean, the guy's getting on base 40 to 50% of the time anyway without all of that protection. So, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like.
And then I don't care what your pitching staff is like. You've got an opportunity to win this season. I just don't like the idea of being dismissed. That's the thing, is that then there's no point. Then what's the point of being a sports fan? I mean, if you have an opportunity to get a guy, a young generational player that for the history of sport have never been available, and now all of a sudden in this day and age they become available. Why? And you're one of the few teams that could do it. Why just dismiss it out of hand? And like Peter Abraham said, well, I'd rather have Bogaerts and Devers. No, I wouldn't. I'd much rather have Soto this year, and then have I'd much rather have Soto than Bogaerts and Devers. I
like
Devers a lot.
I'd rather have Soto and Devers.
I'd rather have Soto than Devers. I'd rather have Soto than Bogaerts.
No, I'd rather have Soto and Devers. I'd like rather
spend the money on those two guys. Devers next year.
You make the deal for Soto this year, and there's going to be a lot of people forgetting about the guys you don't retain.
Sure. There's no question. It softens the blow big time, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And then it gives you a chance to let your kids, if you're so dead set on developing. Then it makes it easier for the Cassius and the mayors of the world to come in and I don't like the idea of being dismissed. And you'd have to take on bad money, and it would cost the ownership. And I understand that they have to feed the team and everything else that
yes.
the plebeians that we are don't understand.
Got to pay the front office workers, you know, who yeah, feed like, Carmine all the stats. Yeah,
they got rid of the vending machines, so now the players get free chips and gum.
Yeah.
They got rid of all that stuff. They, I mean, Werner himself used to empty out the vending machines' coins and pocket them, but now that was considered low class, so they had to move on from that. But in terms of a story, in terms of making the team viable, in terms of selling out, in terms of everything, I mean, I'll renew my season tickets if they get Juan Soto. I'm not going to if they don't.
But, Fred, nothing they've done over the last several years indicates they would ever make that move.
No, I think we're all in agreement here. Yeah. This is fantasy land. They'll never make this deal.
But it shouldn't be fantasy land. Now, listen, right. They might not make the deal. But it shouldn't be fantasy land, and it shouldn't. This is an exception to every rule. This is a cash in your chips. This is why you have a farm system. I don't get why you would hang on to anything that there's no way anything you have is going to be Juan Soto. You do not have Juan Soto in your system. Who do we have on yesterday? Mastronato, and he goes like, they might have their own Juan Soto in the shortstop in Mayer. No, you don't. Then come on. He's not. So you have Ted Williams in your minor league system?
Well, you've got a might have Juan Soto, and then there's Juan Soto.
Right. So, I mean, the chances that giving Juan Soto are one in literally a million. Like one in a million. So I like the opportunity to get Juan Soto. This is the guy. It's not another. It's not Albert Pujols at 34 years old. It's not Scherzer at 40 years old. This is a young kid that's got 2.5 years left. That is on pace to be a top 10 player of all time.
And Fred, it goes without saying, it's a defensive move as well because it keeps him from the Yankees. It's obvious, but it just seems so right, and it's something that they can do.
Yes, of course they can afford it, and they can, and they have the prospects to do it. And if it precludes you from signing, Bogarts or something like that, well, guess what? It washes that all away. People won't care. People will think it's a shame, and Bogarts is a great guy and has been great for the team, but they're not going to care if you have Juan Soto.
Nope.
So just don't dismiss it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't put it as pie in the sky, because it really shouldn't be. Every time we talk about it, I convince myself that they should do it. Mm-hmm. And that if I was the ownership, I would push to do it. And I would trade any of my prospects. I don't care who the prospect is, because there's no one that you have that's going to be as good as him. It's not Tatis. It's not Acuna. It's none of that. It's Juan Soto. It's the best player in Major League Baseball. And I would, it's getting Mike Trout in his prime, and Mike Trout at 24 years old, better numbers than Mike Trout, maybe. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. On an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
We're waiting. waking up.
We're waking up.
Boston sports fans.
This really feels like a big time radio show.
Toucher and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Yeah, Rich.
I was just thinking of something just in a commercial break, and every once in a while it creeps into my head, and I know it's irrational. I'm still weirded out that Patrice Bergeron has not signed with the Bruins yet. I know that everybody says he'll be back. I know every report, like every couple of days, there's a new report from somebody that says, oh, yeah, I know from an inside source, he's going back, he's back. But, man, how long has it been? Free agency's been going on for a while. It just is strange. You know what I mean? It's like I know he's going to be here, but and it's strange in many different ways. One, that it almost seems like incompetent. Is it the incompetency on the behalf of the Bruins that they haven't figured out how to make the money work? If that's what they're worried about with Krejci and Patrice, that seems like they would have had enough time to have figured this out. Or is it in my crazy mind that Patrice is having reservations about coming back to this team with all of the weirdnesses out there? Or, once again, my imagination running wild, is it the fact that they are lowballing, in a way, disrespecting Patrice Bergeron or David Krejci, which is pissing off David Bergeron, or Patrice Bergeron, and it's setting everything out in this, you know, the form of chaos where he ends up going somewhere else. It's completely irrational, but it's weird that he has not been signed yet.
I'd be worried if, you know, if they were talking to other free agents, they were bringing other free agents in. But I mean, you said it yourself, free agency started a while ago. Everybody who's worth a damn is by the boards at this point. There's no big free agent lurking out there, which leads me to believe that they know at least Bergeron is going to be back. And they traded for this guy, Zacha, who could be their second-line center. So I think that's where we are on all of this. I don't think the preseason starts for another couple of months. Training camp doesn't start for 5 or 6 weeks. I don't think there's any urgency at this point to announce anything.
And what you're saying is rational, but here comes the irrational response to that, is that they have put all of their eggs in the Patrice Bergeron basket, and they don't want to spend anything because that money is going to be going towards him. Meanwhile, he's hemming and hawing, and maybe he's getting upset with the team, and then all of a sudden he's not on the team, and all of the good players have gone somewhere else.
It would be a great story if you were right. They completely misjudged this, and Patrice was like, you know what? No. I'm not coming back.
You
enjoy
see what I mean?
Yourself.
And it's also like part of me thinks, you know, I've always looked at, you know, Patrice Bergeron, and none of this is on Patrice Bergeron. I know it is. None of it is. But once again, in my head, I expect him to be this leader who does everything he can for this team to win. And you would think probably the best thing to do is to go ahead and sign so the team can make those moves and not get stuck in a position where other guys are moving around and decisions to be made.
I don't think there are any moves to make at this point. You're so tied up to the cap. There are no massive moves that you can make. They made their one trade. I don't know if there are a lot of prospects they can, you know, pick up and ship off to another team to create to bring in a guy. No, they don't have the system for that. So I mean, one of their prospects, Lowrize, hurt. I think they're out of moves. I think they are what they are. And they know Bergeron's coming back, so they're standing pat.
And maybe it's because we've been burned before. You know, I keep thinking of Doc Rivers, and that's a big one. It was when Doc Rivers, remember, he was like, Danny Ainge said it. Oh, yeah, Doc's going to be back. You know, Doc's great. He's going to be back. Mm-hmm. And all these reports like, yeah, Doc's coming back. And then all of a sudden, Doc was, see ya.
Well, that's the thing. If Bergeron doesn't come back, then that's the story of the fall because it's chaos.
And, Fred, the other part of it is that there's a rational reason for Patrice Bergeron not to come back. Like, this isn't a very good team, and he's still a very good player, and he's a veteran player that other teams would want on their team. So, I mean, it's not like it's crazy that he wouldn't come back. Now, we know it's Patrice Bergeron, and everything that we've heard is that he wants to stay here, and he's very loyal, and blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, these are different people that brought him in than that he's dealing with now. It's a different coach. Right now, you know, Don Sweeney wasn't the guy that was, you know, brought him in originally. I don't know where his loyalties lay. You let your mind go nuts when things aren't settled. And unfortunately, I know I'm irrational in all this, but it just completely weirds me out that he's not signed right now. And the Krejci thing is strange, too, because maybe Krejci's the loose cannon. You know, that's the thing. Maybe Krejci's the loose cannon that's keeping Patrice from coming back. I don't know. Because if Patrice doesn't come back, do all the dominoes start falling? Does Pasternak no longer want to be here?
Yes.
Because he got pissed off. You know what I mean? It's like, this is, you can let yourself get wound up, which I have.
As I said before, all the free agency is done. I don't know how many teams have Bergeron money, fully guaranteed money left under the cap. I mean, if he doesn't sign here, then the game changes. He's not going to take a low salary filled with incentives to go somewhere else. Another team's going to have to pony up $7 million for him for next year. I just don't know how many teams can do that now.
Somebody said, I'm convinced he's punishing Joe McDonald and making him sweat for leaking it.
Right.
So people will question
right.
who that guy's sources were.
Yeah.
So, John, this is your last day in Dorchester.
That's correct. Last day here.
I heard Felger and Maz talking about how they would like to burn the building down.
I have no problem with that. I think that that's a perfectly acceptable thing.
It was nice to hear them talk about it, that I was not the only one.
Yeah.
That absolutely hated that place.
Felger has a similar commute that I do. So, I mean, he has to drive in pretty much the same distance.
Our phones don't work in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
it's not functional.
Just
so
knock this thing down the second we leave. I'm all for it. This is great. You know,
now, are they going to knock it down? I might. If they knock it down, I might drive by again.
Well, yeah. I mean, eventually they will, but not immediately.
Because they never did anything to the WB. And let's look out the window. Are they doing anything with the WB?
No. It's the same building when you were here.
The fire department's not doing any lessons.
I don't know. I haven't seen if they're doing those ladder exercises out in the courtyard there. I've not seen
that. 4 years in that building.
That's right.
4 years in Dorchester. Your same amount of time that you were in high school, the same amount of time that you got first chair woodwinds
was
the amount of time that you spent in there.
That's right.
So do you feel good about leaving? Are you excited about the prospect?
I'm going to spend maybe 30 seconds after the show is done. And that's the 30 seconds it takes me to get from this room downstairs and out the door.
I'm
not nostalgic at all. No.
Will you reflect now? Where in your home will you be doing the show?
Over my garage, the office over my garage, a cramped little area.
Now, does your wife have an office as well? Because she works out of the house.
No, that's the thing. I mean, we have two desks in the office. One that she uses, and then I have a little makeshift one that all the equipment's on.
Oh, so she'll be in the room while you broadcast?
No, she will not. She will start after I am done.
Oh, she doesn't have to start work till 10?
She will work downstairs for the first hour and a half of the program. And then upstairs.
You two are back-to-back in the office working away there in the afternoons?
Yes, that is correct.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Over the garage.
Mm-hmm.
John and his lady.
That's right.
Kicking out the jams. Yes, but it is your last day there, and it is the last day for everyone, right? Because they moved to... They moved to Needham.
That's right.
They start tearing it up tomorrow, right?
We
start tearing up the studio and bringing everything to the new place that they need to use for the, from one studio to the next.
That is correct. And there will be, like, for instance, you're off this Friday, Rich, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Joe Murray is going to be on with the program. So Fred and I will be co-hosting from different buildings. And I think they're going to put Joe in Nick's room.
The level of distraction that Joe will get being in outside of the studio is going to be great. It will lead to new levels of distraction.
Yep.
Perhaps on Friday we should discuss what's the difference between a lake and a pond. we could discuss those matters.
Sure.
Or what to put mayonnaise on. Okay. After all,
yeah,
it is the summer. Yeah. It is right. I'll tell you what. I dyed this this facial hair, and it looks like I just rubbed soot in it. Who would have thought
it doesn't look that bad.
Who would have thought the over-the-counter dye would not... I look like Groucho Marx. I look like I put a grease pen and did my mustache. I look ridiculous. Who would have thought that the over-the-counter just for men wouldn't have worked that well? It's a shocking thing. All right, so that's it for John. John is out.
gone.
No, Dorchester John, that chapter of his life is over.
Yeah.
As we move on to greener pastures. Is there any news when we will be moving into Waltham?
Yeah, it's going to be the second week of August.
Yes, like that, August that's the 8th. Target right now.
Yep. Yeah, Monday, August.
Is that the target, or is that what it's going to be?
That's what they told us. Monday, August 8th, I think. Is that a Monday?
It's yes.
Whatever that Monday
yes.
is.
Yes, I'm going to be off that week, so I will miss out on the all the bumps that go on in the new place.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be off that Monday, too. So that's not good news. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old Stackarooski?
Well, it's almost ESPY time. Get ready for the yucks. Is Van Halen about to pull a Pantera-esque reunion? And is there a gift you have received from your significant other that made you say, do you even know me?
All right, those are the questions.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Questions that need to be answered. We will be back here at the headline.
Don't you dare think that we think we're superstars.
Oh, no.
No,
we get kicked
no.
in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, we are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
I just came across this. This is pretty interesting. It's how much do game show hosts make per year, per episode? And it goes back, you know, even to, like, you know, Alex Trebek before he died, how much he was making. But shockingly, not really shockingly, because they've been around forever, but who would you say is the highest paid game show host? And I guess America. Let's just go in American television. Who do you believe is the highest paid game show host?
Drew Carey.
Drew Carey is a good guess.
Yeah, now, Drew Carey
makes $9 million a year, which is obviously a ton of money, but there are other hosts. Now, I'll give you Alex Trebek's salary before he died. They're saying that it was $10 million. But if you take a look at who the number one is, this person makes $12 million a year. And it's more than, what was that, Dan? Yeah, Dan just said it in my head. So he got it right.
He's come on, the man. Doesn't he sit behind the home plate there at the Angels games? Right there behind the...
Huge fan of the Washington Capitals.
Oh, Pat Sajak.
Oh, Pat Sajak. Oh,
Pat
Sajak,
Wheel of Fortune. He makes $12 million. I believe that Vanna White, they say, makes somewhere between $4 and $10 million, which is quite a huge thing. She's been, not been very open with how much money she makes. There's a massive difference between $4 and $10 million. But either way, not making quite as much as Pat Sajak there. Steve Harvey makes $20,000 for every half-hour episode. If I'm not mistaken, Fred, don't they, like, in a given day, knock out, like, six of those in a row? And then he just comes back and so he shows up like a couple of days. I think he does an entire week where they film the entire season of Family Feud, and then he just walks home with a massive
they
paycheck.
Do that with a lot of games, like The Price is Right. They do it that way too. Same thing. Drew Carey shows up for, like, you know, 3 weeks a year, knocks out however many episodes he needs to knock out, and then he's done.
I didn't realize it, but Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader was a mega hit. Jeff Foxworthy, the very, very funny host, he ended up making $150,000 per episode. And that's another show where you just knock out a ton of them within a week, and then you're all set. And Howie Mandel, he makes $70,000 an episode on The America's Got Talent. That is compared to the $75,000 per episode that he made for Deal or No Deal. America's Got Talent, that's a great gig. That's an easy gig. Deal or No Deal, that is a show that I was actually into for a while. That's just, there's a Deal or No Deal channel, by the way, on Roku. Roku's got weird. They got weird. There is a old Johnny Carson channel on there. Where it's just old Johnny Carson's, and it's fantastic for 10 minutes.
Yes, until you realize that you can't get regular TV because you've got the Airbnb, or you've rented a house that has only got Roku, and that it is your confusion that you can't watch any sports or anything else. Yes, there's a Three's Company channel that plays Three's Company 24 hours a day.
Did anyone ever win on Deal or No Deal? Did anyone ever win $1 million?
I think they did. I've never seen it. I've seen people get
$500,000. Yeah, that's the thing. No one's ever seen anyone win $1 million, ever.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have brass ones to win $1 million. I mean, because then that means you're between $1 million and something else, and it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's ever happened, to be quite honest. I have no idea. All I know is that the ladies like to come out, although they started saying, you know what, we're going to be equal. We're going to bring out hunks, too. So there's a couple episodes where they bring out hunks with suitcases.
Don't mind that. I mean, let me wash those dollar bills on those abs.
Well, it was just announced that Pantera will be having a reunion, but it's really Phil Anselmo and Rex. And without the Abbott brothers, who are both now dead, it is going to be, of course, Zakk Wylde and the drummer from Anthrax who are filling in. And now there has been speculation, too, if that's going to happen, if you're going to have a quote-unquote reunion that is most likely a tribute, then why hasn't Van Halen done it yet? Well, Wolfgang Van Halen, the son of Eddie Van Halen, who's in the band Mammoth, which is actually a pretty decent band. I don't know if you've heard Wolfgang's band. It doesn't suck. I was kind of shocked. Well, he did a new interview with Rolling Stone where when he was asked about this tribute that's been rumored for a while, he said, quote, some people can be hard to work with and made it not happen. He said, what I can say is that there was an attempt at doing something. But, you know, I don't like to speak negatively about people, but there are some people that make it very difficult to do anything when it comes to Van Halen. Just, we made an attempt.
Wolfgang.
Some people can be hard to work with. And
good, you shouldn't have been in it. Why should Wolfgang be in that? He's not on any of the records. It should have been the only reason that you would go is to see Michael Anthony back with Alex and David Lee Roth. What is Wolfgang? Well, big deal. So, you're Eddie Van Halen's kid.
Wolfgang even said that in the interview. He goes, listen, I'm a guy who was lucky enough to be in the band near the end. He said, but Alex near makes all the decisions. He said, Alex makes every one of the decisions when it comes to what Van Halen does. And, you know, I will leave it in his hands.
Yeah, because he shouldn't even be involved in it. If you're getting rid of Eddie, who was Van Halen, you know, for better or for worse, was Van Halen. And so you give me I don't care about Alex. So it would be David Lee Roth, Alex, and then I'd want the Secret Weapon back. Give me Michael Anthony. Michael Anthony, all Michael Anthony, if you've read any books about Van Halen, all Michael Anthony did was be a nice guy. And by the way, they cut him out of the band like while he was still in before they kicked him out. They made him just a hired gun.
Yeah, they made him take the lowest salary of the four, and he's like, okay.
No, they gave him a salary. They didn't even cut him into the band. So all Michael Anthony did was sit there and play the game, and they've treated him like crap.
Well,
but the idea that Wolfgang's sitting there going, I'm Eddie Van Halen's son, and of no particular great talent or unique talent, that's asinine.
Well, he was asked about it.
I understand that, but the only reason he was asked about it is because he's Eddie Van Halen's kid.
Well,
and then he says, well, there's people that make things difficult. Well, my point is he shouldn't be a part of the conversation.
Well, he was asked because the reason it was out there was I think it was Joe Satriani and Jason Newsted, ex of Metallica, have both thrown out there that this was something that they've been spoken to about, like possibly touring with them.
But, oh, so it would be Newsted? Joe Satriani? First of all, you got to give it to Vi. I mean, you know who I'd rather see is the original David Lee Roth band lineup. I would rather
with
see
Vi and Bissonette and all those guys. Stu Hamm.
And all those Stu Hamm.
Mm-hmm.
Turn off your microphone.
Oh, Billy Sheehan. That's right.
I knew. How dare you?
I knew it was one of those masturbatory bass players.
He's just not doing the Peanuts theme like Stu Hamm.
That's right. He did do the Peanuts theme. He was Mr. Big for a while. I forgot.
No. That. Stu Hamm did the Peanuts thing. You are off your game.
That's what
today,
I said. Mike. I said Stu Hamm did that. It was Mr. Big, Paul Gilbert, or with Paul Gilbert.
No, Mr. Big had Billy Sheehan.
Billy Sheehan did that. Yes, I know.
He didn't do the Peanuts theme.
I know that. I said Stu Hamm did.
All right.
Billy Sheehan was in Mr. Big with Paul Gilbert.
Yes, he was.
But by the way, he said when he was pressed on whether David Lee Roth was the source of the dissent, Wolfgang, you know, wouldn't say anything. He said, I would say do your research on the history of Van Halen and come to your own conclusions. And I think, this is just me from all the things I've read, I think it might be more of a Sammy Hagar thing. I think Sammy Hagar is still bitter at Alex Van Halen and the Van Halen brothers and how everything went down. I don't
just read his book. Yeah, he was really pissed at him after a while.
And I told you this last week.
He invented mountain bike.
Yeah, he did. He invented a lot of things. But he also said just recently in an interview that he's made more money from his tequila because he sold it off to a huge company than he ever did in Van Halen. So he doesn't have to do any of this. The only reason that Sammy would do that is that if he really wanted to do some sort of tribute.
But this is about David Lee Roth. It was never considered that Sammy Hagar would be back in Van Halen.
Okay, so in this, they were talking about it being both of the singers, like doing part of the shows.
No, they're done with Hagar.
You know, Hagar sold more records than David Lee Roth.
I'm not positive that's true.
The reason I know that is I think that it was
1984 went diamond.
Yeah, but look at the albums that came after that. OU812 was massive. 5150, massive. For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, I mean, that was enormous.
I don't think Sammy sold more albums.
And the reason I just heard that fact like 2 weeks ago, and it might
I don't
have
think
been
that's true.
Well, what I'm saying is it might have been in a Sammy Hagar interview. So take it from where I may have heard it from. But,
because
I did see that recently that Hagar Van Halen sold more than David Lee Roth.
Because the first Van Halen record and 1984, I think both went diamond. So I will look right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. See if you can look that up, because as I said, that was I just saw that. I just saw that recently.
Yeah, I don't.
Because it sounded
don't.
Weird, but I think it might have been Hagar who said that.
Well, he's full of.
I'm looking at an article in Guitar Player magazine. It says here, Roth absolutely wins the Van Halen commerce battle, 57 million sales worldwide to Hagar's 27 million.
Ah, well, there you go.
But it took seven albums for Roth to reach that. And Hagar had what, four?
No, he had four, yes. Was he on a different kind of truth?
Oh, yeah, he had Balance. I forgot. Balance was a good album. They ended on a good album. Balance was actually decent. Not too shabby. By the way, the ESPYs tomorrow night. This is what happens when there's the lack of any kind of sports.
Steph Curry hosting. Expect a few jabs at the Celtics.
Oh, boy. Steph Curry doing the hosting. Yep. It's like, let's not harm anybody. It's going to be... It's a long way from when Norm went up there and just took a flamethrower to the...
Just backstage, a lot of celebrities back there. Man, I was talking to Jerry Jones, you know, the Cowboys owner, and he's disappointed, obviously. Yeah. He's a good guy, though, man. He's talking about rebuilding the team, you know. And he told me, he says, we have to get back to what made us a championship team. Strippers and crack. Boomer Esiason is with us. Boomer. Boomer, of course, will replace Frank Gifford on Monday Night Football next season. And Frank told reporters that this will allow him to spend more time with his wife and children. Then he broke down and cried for 45 minutes. So. And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? Oh, what a season he had. Great, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case...
All bets are off. It did not like him. They did not bring him back, even though obviously he was the best ever. But instead, you were going to get, of course, the comic stylings of Steph Curry this evening, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Or tomorrow evening, rather. And I'm sure.
Golf jokes.
Golf jokes. Holy moly. That's like, right.
Holy moly's not a bad show. He's not on it that much, of course.
No.
This season, he's missing. There was a huge to-do from Sylvester Stallone about wanting to own the rights to Rocky. He's pissed that there was a producer, Irvin Winkler, the guy who helped basically make Rocky what it was, that he owned some of the rights. Well, it seems like now he is thinking about suing Irvin Winkler because he, quote, wants to pass it on to his children. And he says it would be a fair gesture for the 91-year-old gentleman, Irvin Winkler, to hand over the franchise. It's not quite how it works. You see, he helps you kind of become what you are. He said, this is a painful subject that eats my soul because I want to leave something.
Eats my soul!
But it's always great hearing from the loyal fans. Keep punching. I don't know. Does he think that public uprising will all of a sudden get this guy to go, here, just take this thing that made me, you know, gazillions of dollars?
You think the Ukraine is pissed at Russia? I mean, you're going to, I mean, the people are going to stand up. It's nice to know he wants to leave something for his children because he, as opposed to the billions of dollars that he's earned throughout his career, his kids, what would he pee away all that crap? He needs the rights to Rocky?
I mean, just from the Rambo movies alone, you would think that he would have some sort of bank there. Just from Oscar. Yeah, I mean, what a huge hit that was. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
I mean, for the rest of his life, the whole arm wrestling community will always have an open door for his family. Right. I mean, anyone who wants to do push-ups on the grill of a truck will be forever indebted to. I mean, the Peterbilt people. How many American jobs rest on the shoulders of Sylvester Stallone?
Over the Top is a legitimate great movie to watch. Like, if it's on TV, you can't turn the channel.
I hate.
Oh yeah.
Kid.
Oh yeah. They cast the most annoying kid to be in it. It's like what he's in the bar and he's finally standing up to the bully who's arm wrestling him. And the bully goes, "What do you think? What do you think?" And the boy goes, "What do I think? I think your breath stinks." And that's supposed to be like the big moment. And you're like, ooh, boy, I'm kind of on the bully side on this.
Yeah,
one.
You got to go with the bully on that.
But yes, and there's, of course, the part, too, where, you know, Robert Loggia is the grandfather of the kid. He doesn't
he's
want
orange
this
in this movie.
Absolutely.
Robert Loggia in every movie.
Yeah, of course he is. But he's like, you know what? You've got a bad father. You shouldn't be around him. And the way that Stallone proves to Robert Loggia that he's a great father is that he takes his 18-wheeler and smashes it through the front of his home and says, "Give me my child." And that's you'll do anything for your kid. Yeah. All right. Loggia out.
I respect that you did it.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert Loggia. And then he said to the team,
"Now, let's analyze what's been working for us." Not a goddamn thing's been working for us.
Name that movie,
damn
John.
Doesn't work for me. And this stinking time.
Oh, this is
it
this
doesn't
Sarah
work
Ruffin
for me. You know how to play winning hard nose football? You play football.
Engineero.
Engineero played football.
Yeah.
A guy who gave his life for this football team. He was a 140-pound halfback. And he played like a damn wild man.
No.
Like a ground-pacing beast. And that's the way you gotta do it. You go out there, you tear your heads off, and you
next. Let us pray.
Boo.
Let us pray.
That movie stinks.
Scott Bakula? Were rooting for him the
Scott
entire
Scott Bakula.
Film?
Kathy Ireland is the kicker.
After Kathy Ireland
off the soccer team.
Yeah.
If you want a Loggia scene to end all Loggia scenes, there's an awesome movie that David Lynch made called Lost Highway, and Robert Loggia is this like old guy who's got this really nice car, and he's got this kid who's always fixing up his car, and this guy's like just barely tailgating behind him, so Loggia just lets him go by, and then
do you know how many car lengths it takes to stop a car at 35 miles an hour? Six car lengths. That's 106 feet, mister. If I had to stop suddenly, you would have hit me. I want you to get a driver's manual. I want you to study that mother. And I want you to obey the goddamn rules. 50,000 people were killed on the highway last year because of this like you.
It's ultimate lotion.
Okay.
All right. Well, what have we learned today? We've talked about the pee paintings of Andy Warhol. We heard from Robert Loggia and Lost Highway. It is in the summer, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the All-Star Game. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.